You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Y'all ready for the Word? Yes. You know, we've been teaching on gifts of the Spirit, and we finished up the first category. You know, I divided them up into three categories just for simplicity's sake, and it's a common division. You'll read in a lot of books if you read, you know, like Howard Carter, Questions and Answers on Spiritual Gifts, or Kenneth Hagin's Concerning Spiritual Gifts, and there's a lot of other authors that I've read about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's a general division amongst those who do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Let's qualify that. You have nine gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. And word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of discerning spirits, the gift of gifts of plural of healings, the gifts of working of miracles, the gift of discerning spirits, and I already said that, the gift of faith. And then the last three would be the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. So there's nine gifts, and you can categorize them loosely. I mean, it's not the categories not in the Bible, but it helps you to remember them. And I taught the gifts that I would call revelation gifts. Gifts that reveal something. The gift of the word of knowledge reveals the past or present. The gift of the word of wisdom reveals the future and also has instruction in it, usually always has instruction. And then the gift of discerning of spirits has to do with revealing spirits, good or evil, whether angelic beings or, you know, whether it's God himself or you see God in the throne or a vision that you had or someone has. That's a gift of discerning of spirits, seeing into the spirit world and discerning a spirit. Like Paul knew this was a spirit of divination on this young woman that followed them around in Acts, the 16th chapter, and said, "These are servants of the Most High God." And he was grieved in his spirit, turned to her, and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." Well, he knew that. He discerned that by gift. In fact, she'd followed him for many days, and he didn't do anything. But all of a sudden, that gift came on him. He was grieved in his spirit. He turned, and he didn't even talk to her. He talked right to the spirit. He discerned that spirit. And then, of course, seeing or understanding of spirits, John, the book of Revelation, is filled with seeing spirits, some evil, some good, some messengers out of heaven talking to him, some demons coming out of the pit. I mean, he sees all these spirits, so that reveals the spirit world. And those three gifts, the gift of word of wisdom, the gift of word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning spirits, that's why we say they are revelation gifts. They're gifts that reveal something. And simply put, word of knowledge, past and present, word of wisdom, future, gift of discerning spirits, spirit world. The gift of discerning spirits is not the gift of discernment. That's actually, we've called it that, but really that's called the gift of suspicion. That doesn't come from God. A lot of people say, "Well, I've just got the gift of discernment." No, you're just suspicious of everybody. And you may not feel right about someone. You may, you know, their aura may not be right. I don't know what all the New Age terminology is. But that's not a supernatural Holy Ghost gift, because what it says here is gift of discerning of spirits, not gift of discernment. The gift of word of wisdom is not the gift of wisdom. There is no such thing as a gift of wisdom. There's just wisdom that you could ask for if you need it and lack it. James 1:5 says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God to give it to all men liberally." That's just common wisdom, you know. And Proverbs 3:6 says, "Acknowledge in all your ways, you'll direct your paths. Trust the Lord with all your heart." The fifth verse says, "Lean not your own understanding. Acknowledge him all the ways. All your ways he'll direct your paths. And lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord." I mean, that's a kind of wisdom that comes from just trusting God and not yourself. Are you with me? And he gives wisdom to anybody that calls him. But that's not the word of wisdom. Everybody say word of wisdom. And someone who has had a word of wisdom or operates in a word of wisdom doesn't have it 24/7. These gifts come as the Spirit wills. They come, then they're gone. You know, so you can't just walk up to someone and say, "Hey, give me a word. You got to, you know, I hear you moving a gift. Give me a word." Well, it doesn't work that way. It works under the anointing. Even under the old covenant, the prophets, Elijah called for a minstrel one time to play. They got into worship so he'd get in the spirit so something would happen. Are you with me? He didn't just walk around and just automatically 24/7 have this connection, you know, with the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But there is, in a service, you're worshiping God, if you're inclined that way and you have that gift moving in your life, then yeah, under the anointing, those things do flow, for sure. But it's just a word. Just a word. It's not the complete mind of God. It's not all the things that are going to happen in the future, word of wisdom. It's not everything happening right now, word of knowledge. but just a word. It comes by the Spirit, and then it's gone. You have to discern the Spirit the same way. You can't discern everybody's spirit. You can't just walk around, ooh, I've got the gift. I know whether you're right or you're not right. I just know. I can look in your eyes and tell. Well, that's not the gift that he's talking about. But those are revelation gifts. And we went through several instances in the Bible, you know, where they were used and talked about, you know, what they meant. You know, I think it's interesting when you look at this. In fact, 1 Corinthians, I'm sure you're already there, aren't you? Notice what it says, and I've said this before. The first chapter, turn to the first chapter. This is significant. Paul speaking, I'm reading out of New King James Version here. He's talking to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, no matter what commentaries you read, and you'll read these kind of comments, they'll say, well, the Corinthians, they had a real problem with the gifts. They had a real problem with tongues. They were completely out of line. Well, not really. Their problem was disunity. And that's the thing that he addressed all through the 1 Corinthians, was their disunity, not gifts. I mean, he started talking about gifts in the 12th chapter, and then he talked about love in the 13th chapter, and then he talked about operating the gifts in the church service in the 14th chapter. And he talked about order as far as that's concerned. But I mean, the first 11 chapters, he wasn't talking about the gifts. Are you with me? And then the 15th and 16th chapter, he wasn't talking about the gifts. What you see was disunity, and they were showboating, as it were. And that did roll over into the gifts, because when someone moves in a gift, there is the danger of, you know, looking like you're somebody special or trying to draw attention to yourself or get people to follow you because you've got this gift. Now, that had to be addressed, but the gifts themselves were real. Are you with me? And we should believe in them, pray for them, and look to them, but not to the person. Amen? Not to the person. But I think this is interesting here. In the 7th verse of the 1st chapter, he's praying for them, and he says that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. King James says coming, but it's the revelation of Jesus when he appears in the clouds. That's very significant as far as the timetable is concerned, because these gifts will be here until Jesus comes. Are you with me? So, I mean, the writer of the book that has the gifts in it tells us in the very first chapter that they should be eagerly waiting, eagerly anticipating, you know, and coming behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. So when the Lord comes, the gifts will cease. That's what chapter 13 talks about, where it talks about love, and then it talks about tongues passing away, and talks about prophecies passing away, and where there's knowledge, it shall cease. And when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, then we'll know as we are known. Now what Paul's talking about there is that we need the gifts, and they are in part. They're not complete. In fact, they're just a word here, a word of wisdom, a healing here, a miracle here, a tongue, an interpretation. They're parts. That's all they are. And they're not complete. But when that which is complete is come, that which is in part will be done away. We won't need a healing when nobody ever gets sick anymore. We won't need a tongue and interpretation. When we're in the presence of God, we'll know what he's saying. Are you with me? And so we won't see through a glass darkly then. We'll see face to face. We won't know in part then. We'll know as we are known. That which is perfect is not the Bible, as is often touted, you know, in some circles, that since we have the Bible, we don't need the gifts. Well, no, the Bible is not even perfect in their mind, because no one can even agree on the right translation. Are you with me? They can't even agree on which Greek text we should be using or translating from, the Textus Receptus or the Codex Sinaiticus. Hello. Those are real terms, incidentally. You're not familiar with them. I mean, they're saying, if it's perfect, well, what is perfect? Well, that's not in the original. You have to take that out. And this is not really, the earlier manuscripts don't have this verse and that verse. Well, man, by the time they get through that perfect text, it's all chopped up and ripped. And so that can't be that. Are you with me? And the idea that since we have the Bible, and we do, don't we? We have the Bible. The idea that all of us now knows we are known, I think that's a stretch. And all of us that we see face to face now, that's a stretch. I'm still looking through a glass darkly, and I still know in part. I don't know more than Paul did. Are you with me? And if Paul said he knew in part, I think we still know in part. And if he saw through a glass darkly, we still see through a glass darkly. Amen. So what was he talking about? Well, he said it right here, the coming of the Lord. And he reiterates that when he gets over into the 13th chapter. I just thought I'd throw that out and just put this nuggets out here. Now, in the 12th chapter where we talk about the gifts, 8th, 9th, and 10th verse is where they're listed. He starts out that whole chapter asking us not to be ignorant. He said, I would not have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And then he goes to this whole thing about, you know, that there may be different, but it's the same Spirit. And that's a point he's really trying to make here. No matter who operates in the gift, and no matter what the gift is, they're gifts of the Spirit. And God gets the credit, not you, not me. Amen? They're not to exalt anybody, they're to exalt Him. They're not to make you big in the sight of people, they're to make Jesus big in the sight of people. It's not a sign of spirituality because someone moves in a gift. Tongue, interpretation, tongue, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Goodness, there's people just as flaky as anybody else that move in the gifts. Hello? It doesn't mean you're that holy when you move in the gifts. Are y'all out there? We need to understand that, because what happens is somebody will start being used by God in a certain area and they just kind of think they're okay. They don't have to improve their life or do any better. And you see, you hear a lot of scandals and people that are greatly used of God. We've heard many scandals over the last year, few years, televangelists that God used mightily. Hey, they were anointed. Are you with me? That's not to say they weren't anointed. Not to say what they said wasn't right. Sure it was. But they're human like everybody else, and they didn't watch their own personal life, and you got to watch your own personal life. This is not achieving some kind of spirituality when you're used in the gift. You still have to work on your love walk and work on forgiveness, work on walking holy and doing all those kinds of things. And God doesn't use you in a gift because you're perfect. If that were the case, He wouldn't use anybody. Are you with me? So you can actually flip that coin the other way. You know, you can be using a gift and think you're really something that's wrong, but then you'll not yield to a gift because you don't think you're worthy enough, and that's wrong too. Are you out there? So it has nothing to do with any of that. These are all gifts of the Spirit, and it's just by the grace of God. Listen, I'm pastoring and have the gift of pastoring, and the gift is a ministry gift, not the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of teaching, because God gave me that gift, not because I was special, not because I was smarter. Are you with me? Not because I was better. I mean, because I wasn't better. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you'd seen me before I got saved and God told you that I was going to be your pastor, you might have second thoughts about getting saved. But God doesn't pick people out that are perfect. He just picks them out and anoints them. Amen? And we need to understand that. And so I think sometimes we elevate people too high sometimes that are moving in a gift, almost to the point of worship. You know, almost we're afraid to say anything around them because they're so holy and they're so... Or then the other side of that coin is we'll never let God use us because we feel like we're unworthy. Both those sides of that coin is wrong. Amen? Okay, 8th, 9th, 10th verse, found it. It says, for one is given, 8th verse, the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, gifts plural, of healings plural, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. I want to talk about three here mentioned that we would call power gifts, or gifts that do something. And one of them you might wonder about because everything doesn't fit succinctly into nice little boxes here. But faith, the gift of working of miracles, and the gifts of healings fall in that category. They do something. The gift of faith is not faith that you and I all have. We all have faith. God's dealt to every man a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says we all have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So we all got faith. It's not talking about saving faith. It's not talking about faith that you and I have just from hearing a word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. This is a gift of faith. Are you with me? And if we go along with all the other gifts as we see the pattern here, it must not be something that just abides on someone. It just comes on them for a moment, for an event, for a miracle, for a healing, for something, and then it's gone. Just like all the other gifts, the gift of word of wisdom, the gift of word of knowledge, the gift of discerning spirits. It doesn't abide on them all the time. It's only as the Spirit wills. These are given severally to each man as the Spirit wills. And so it's not something they own. I own it. You know, I got it 24/7. No, no, you don't. It's only as the Spirit wills. That's the whole point that we're making here and that God's making and Paul's making, is that they come as the Spirit wills. So this faith he's talking about is a supernatural faith. It's not the faith that you and I all have just as being Christians. You know, Peter said that we've all obtained like precious faith. All of, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you got saved, you got faith. Amen. You appropriated faith when you were born again. You know, people debate on whether that was the gift, a gift of faith or not. I don't believe that. I believe everybody has the choice and has a will. You chose to believe, and you got saved. Now you're saved, you got faith, because he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have like precious faith. We have the same spirit of faith. It's not the gift of faith. Gift of faith is something supernatural, something spectacular, something out of the ordinary. And I'm sure it works with other gifts. The way I understand it and see it, and I've seen this too in Kenneth Hagin's books and Howard Carter books and other books. I mean, there's a lot of other authors that we can mention here. List of some are all different ones. Is that it works with the working of miracles or works with the gifts of healings. I think of Elijah running before the chariot of Ahab and outrunning the chariot of Ahab. What a miracle that was. Just the faith to start out and go do that. I mean, that wasn't normal. I mean, you don't just get up and say, hey, I think I'll just outrun the chariot. I think I'll kill 450 prophets of Baal all by myself today. You know, I think there's something came on you. I don't think you just say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make an altar. I want you to dig a ditch, and I want you to pour water and fill the dishes full of water, and I'm going to call on God, and fire's going to come down and lick up all the water and going to lick up all the and burn up all the offerings. I don't know. I think you probably normally on every day do something like that. Something must, you had a word from God or something. Faith hit you. Hello? Because that's just a little bit out of the ordinary, wouldn't you say? That's not believing for some money or believing for land or believing for, you know, a deadline to be met. I mean, you're calling it on the line here. And you're not playing around. You fill up the ditches and pour barrels of water on the altar and you go say, get some more water. That's not enough. I mean, you're operating some kind of supernatural faith there. I'm thinking when I read that, that's got to be like a gift of faith. And it didn't abide on him. We know that. Because what did he do as soon as Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you? Stood right there and says, you're not killing me. I'm a man of God. No, he ran and hid behind a rock. So evidently, it had left him. Would you say? Whatever's on him. I mean, he kills all these prophets. He calls down fire from heaven. Outruns this chariot. And the queen says she's going to kill him. And he runs. Screams like a girl, come on. And gets behind a rock and says, God, I'm the only one left serving you. Well, he didn't sound real faithy to me. I mean, when you're reading that. So what happened there? Well, that gift came on him and in it for a purpose, for that miracle that was necessary to clean up, you know, the prophets of Baal and clean out the prophets of Baal and bring the rain, you know, and then it left. And so that's a supernatural thing. And you know what? We need to be open to that because there may be sometimes God wants to do something spectacular that your normal course of events, normal daily reading, normal daily devotion, your normal believing, it might step up to another level. And I won't be open for God to hit me with that gift if I need it in that moment. And I think in most cases when that does happen, after you get through, you think, what did I just do? Because you're back to normal again, you know. And it came on you, and you could believe anything, anything in that instant. Anything you said that instant, you knew it was going to happen, then it was just gone. You know, and usually it has to do with great spectacular events that take place. Probably Daniel, you know, Daniel may have had it. We don't know that for a fact, but he laid down and went to sleep with all those lions around him. That would be kind of tough to do. An angel came and visited him and said he was going to be fine. I mean, people don't normally just go to sleep and lay down in a lion's den. I know I'm speculating. I can't prove this, but it just seems to me he must have had something. God just moved on him. You know, so that's a possibility. It could be. So you have faith, which works, and we call it a power gift because it what's the point? I mean, the point of having that faith is to do something. It's the faith to do a miraculous thing or a miraculous healing or something, miraculous event. It works hand in hand. You know, just popping the river with your robe and rock walking across on dry land. That's just not normal. Those aren't even normal miracles. In fact, the gift of working in miracles is pretty spectacular stuff when you think about it. Are you with me? I mean, you talk about turning water into wine. Well, you don't hear a lot about that happening. That would be a working of miracles, wouldn't it? Where Jesus is at this wedding and he turned water into wine. I always thought that was so significant in John 2 is where that is. That his mother said, whatever he says, do it. And that's the way you're going to get a miracle if you need one, is always do what Jesus said, amen? But the first miracle he performed was at a wedding or at a marriage. And Jesus needs to be involved in every marriage, really, if you want a miracle marriage. Amen? I mean, I always just thought that was significant that he did that in John 2, and that's the first miracle he did. And he turned water into wine. I always think significant when you look at the miracles in the Bible, they're not fairy tale miracles. They're not pumpkins in the coaches and mice in the coachmen. That's not the way they work. The miracles that in the Bible that take place, they have the mark of God on them. They have the mark of the Creator on them. In other words, when the water's turned into wine, it just tastes like wine. I mean, there's nothing spectacular about wine. The spectacular part was the water turning into wine, but really all water turns into wine that gets into the ground under the vines and gets in the vines, and God takes water and makes it into wine all the time. He just did it close up real quick, real fast, and that miracle. And the water wasn't, the wine wasn't supernatural in the sense that you did anything different with it. You drank it like any other wine. Even a miracle of eyes popping open, that's not a fairy tale miracle, because that's what all eyes do. All eyes see. When Jesus opened up blind eyes, it had the scent of the Creator. It had the mark of the Creator on it. And the working of miracles show, in the Bible miracles, they show the Creator. In fact, they really generally either speed up something he's doing every day, like multiplying fish into more fish, multiplying bread into more bread, which he does that every day. That's all fish come from fish, and more fish comes from a few fish, and lots of bread comes from a little bread, wheat and seeds and all that. God's doing that all the time, the miracle of, agriculture and but he did it in a moment. In a moment, he multiplied the bread. He multiplied the fishes. He did fast and up front what he does all the time. Are you with me? But when the bread was multiplied and the fishes multiplied, it tastes like, just tastes like bread and tastes like fish, and everybody ate it. And when the legs walked that never walked before, they just walk like everybody else's legs. After the miracle takes place, the Bible miracles, when they happen, they fit, don't they? He doesn't undo something that's normal. He actually makes normal something that has been undone. When I think of miracles and healings, they're not intrusions. They're not some kind of weird anomaly that comes into creation. Healings and miracles actually restore something that has been messed up. We talk about eyes, blind eyes seeing. That is spectacular, no question. That's a miracle. And we talk about healings and all these things that happen. But when you get through and it's all said and done, that's what eyes are supposed to do. They're supposed to see. Legs are supposed to walk. Ears are supposed to hear. Are you with me? And all these things that God does, they have the mark of God on them. Jesus is not a magician. Okay, he's not a. This is not Grimm's fairy tale we're reading here. Old Mother Hubbard. Hello. Are you out there? But the working of miracles, there again, it's not something that Jesus operated in just 24/7. Although Jesus, unlike us, did have the Spirit without measure. I like that. We'll get into that in just a minute, talking about the healings that he did. Jesus wasn't limited. See, I think Paul's making a case in 1 Corinthians 12 that different people are going to move in different gifts. I think that's the case he's making. I mean, it's a very plain case. I know in different circles, they teach that differently, and they say every one of us can be used in all nine gifts. Yeah, potentially, I guess we could, but that's not the point he's making. The point he's making is that we generally are all used differently, and the hand cannot say that I have no need of thee. Are you with me? He's not saying here that every one of you are going to have a prophecy, and every one of you are going to have a work in a miracles, and every one of you are, well, Listen, I got lots of scripture on praying for healing. I don't need to have a manifestation of a gift of healings. Are you with me? To believe for a healing. Anybody can believe for a healing. That's not what he's talking about here. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I can speak in tongues. I don't have to have a tongue interpretation of service to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Are you with me? In a service, to one is given the gift of tongues. Not baptism with the Holy Ghost where they all spoke in tongues and prophesied. Are you with me? So, we need to understand he's making a point that we are not all used, hello, in all nine gifts. And so let's don't be exalting ourselves and thinking we're better than anybody else because we are used and they're not. Get the point? That's the point he's making. Because all these are by the Spirit. And all of us count and all of us are important, whether I'm an eye or an ear or whatever. Right. And they were trying to make a distinction between being in, you know, they were the cat daddy, the jefe, the patron. You know, they were the important person, you know, because they moved in this gift or that. Well, that didn't have anything to do with anything. I mean, come on, the only reason you moved in that gift is because God gave it to you. He could have given it to anybody. Are you with me? But he's not saying that, you know, I can believe to move in all nine gifts. Now, listen, I'm open to be used by God in any of them if he chooses to do that. But I know from the scripture and context what he's teaching on here is that God normally would use one for one for another, one for another. Doesn't mean he can't, on a rare occasion, use you in any of these gifts. Hello. But that's not the point he's making. He's making just the opposite point, that we're all used differently, and to one is given this, and to another is given, and to another. Y'all see the point? Now, when the gift's given, we all benefit. Because it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So if one person moves in a gift, we all benefit from that. I don't think there's anything you and I could ever do as a Christian, as a believer, be a part of a church, where we have a victory that everybody doesn't get benefit from that. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a healing, a miracle. I don't care, a mission trip. You know, we all benefit from what each other does. But it doesn't mean we all do the same thing. Amen. Now, with Jesus, it was somewhat different. Because in John, the third chapter, I think it's 34th verse, it says, God gave him the Spirit without measure. Everybody say, without measure. That's an interesting statement. Because, you know, I don't have a different Holy Spirit. I got the same Spirit, right? But evidently, I have a measure of the Spirit. In other words, I'm not an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. Am I? I'm a pastor, teacher. That's what I am. In fact, you know, he calls some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. And you know what? Most people aren't called to either one of those. Those are ministry gifts. Now, these gifts of the Spirit, 8, 9, 10 verses of chapter 12, you know, most of us won't be used in that in a service. That's okay. Are you with me? But now Jesus, on the other hand, received the Spirit without measure. It's interesting that when he would go into a town and heal the sick, it says he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Notice it says that. But now here it talks about gifts, plurals, of healings. We talk about workings of miracles, but now it says gifts, plural, of healings. It's mentioned three times in this chapter, and all three times the noun is plural. Gifts of healing. Not gift of healing, but gifts of healing. And I think it's significant there that you run across some people, some evangelists, some crusaders, you know, that have crusades, that have that gift, that flow in that. They seem to have more success in one area than another. I know Brother Osteen used to always have success in rashes, skin rashes. He'd just pray for anybody with a skin rash and they get healed. And he noticed, he knew that. He said, it seemed like everybody I pray for has skin rash just gets healed. Others, you know, you had to work on it. But those just seem to happen instantly, you know. And then when you think about Acts, the 8th chapter, where Philip went to Samaria, remember that? And it says, many sick of the palsies were healed and many lame. How interesting to say it that way, instead of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. It says, many sick of the palsies were healed and many lame were healed. So it's like gifts, plural, of healings. It appears, or it seems to me, that Philip must have moved in that gifts of healing people with palsies and gifts of healing. He just seemed like people he prayed for were lame got healed. So much so, they wrote it in the Bible. That many sick of the palsy were healed. Many lame were healed. Do you notice that big crusade we had with Philip? Man, it seemed like everybody had palsy got healed. Everybody lame got healed. That's what they remembered, see. And yet there are probably a lot of other problems and diseases. But boy, those people, they really, that would be gifts of healings. A particular gift, evidently, that moved in Philip's life there when he prayed. Hallelujah. Hey, turn to Acts 19. This is interesting. I'm just throwing them all together. I'm not really taking a lot of time on one or the other. I'm just kind of mixing them all up. You ever do that at the end of the week? Throw everything in the pot. Here it is. Potluck. My mama used to do that. I really can't talk about everything mom put in the pot. But but I survived. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody? That's what they potluck. That's what they, you know, call that. You know, at the end of the week, whatever leftovers you had, you just threw it all together and cooked it, you know. Okay. That's kind of the way I'm doing these three gifts here. I'm just throwing them all together and bouncing back and forth. Acts 19 is where Paul went to Ephesus. And, he ran in, of course, we talked about those 12 disciples of John that he ran into. We missed on that several weeks ago, that he prayed for them and they got baptized with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. And it goes on down. The 10th verse says he continued for 2 years. Now that's pretty cool. Paul didn't stay long many places. You know, he established churches and moved on. But he abode here or stayed here for about 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual or special miracles by the hands of Paul. That was interesting. I would think a miracle is a miracle, but evidently there are some special ones. Because that's what it says. It says he worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow. Now that's a miraculous thing, isn't it? I mean, where he just actually just took... You ever seen that? I mean, I've seen evangelists advertise that. And some, you know, hey, some will wonder about. And yet, I do know it does happen because it's in the Bible. You know, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean everybody that's doing it's right. You need to have some kind of judgment here about this and follow a person's life and see if they're right or not. And just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it's the Lord. Are you with me? You have to keep that in mind, too. You judge everything by the word. But we know this is legitimate. It can happen, but it's not normal. Doesn't happen all the time. In fact, it was even called special miracles in the Bible. Are you with me? So I wouldn't think it would just be the normal course of events. Are you with me? How many other accounts do you have of this happening? None. That's the only one we have. But it did happen, and it could happen again. And I believe it. And I've seen it happen. I believe in it. But see, this would be something spectacular, something, you know, everything. We use the miracle too loosely, I think, sometimes. The sun comes up and we think it's a miracle. The baby's born, it's a miracle. And in a general sense, that's true. Life is a miracle. But that's not what he's talking about here when he says workings of miracles. He's talking about some very, like, multiplying food, multiplying fish. He's talking about taking handkerchiefs that he had laid hands on or touched his body, and they took it out and put it on people being possessed, and they got delivered. Woo! That's a special miracle. Are you with me? Be a working of miracles. I don't know that happened all the time, but it happened in Ephesus. And we don't have a repeat of it, but it's sure there. You know, I remember talking one time to, there were shippers and dealing with brokers back when I was in the wholesale produce business, working for Bud Hardin, Trinity Produce. And we in the office, we just buy and sell, you know, all day long and fill up trucks, you know, in California and different places and bring in apples from Canada and bring in train car loads of potatoes, you know, from Idaho and Colorado and different places. And so you're on the phone buying and dealing with brokers and shippers. And in the market downtown Dallas, you have several produce houses, big warehouses that, you know, they fill up trucks all over the country and bring them in, and then you distribute it out to your customers or some of these chains that you, grocery store chains, restaurant chains. But you deal through these other shippers and brokers. And I had this one guy in particular in my office, and they called me the preacher. Can you imagine? Because I had a Bible on my desk. And he was just going off. You know, he was going off about somebody on TV that was putting his hand on the TV and said, just put your hand on my hand if you need to heal it, and you'll get healed, you know. And he was just going off. I mean, he was laughing and cutting up. And I said, well, you know, and he was doing it in front of my desk, which he shouldn't have done that in front of my desk. He really shouldn't have done that because he should have known that I wasn't going to let that slide. And what was the funny thing about this was he actually went to church. He wasn't, I don't think he ever paid attention to any of the sermons, but he actually went to a church. And I said, well, so what's the problem with that? What do you see wrong with that? And he starts cackling, you know, and slapping his knee. Oh, what do you mean, what's the problem with that? The guy's got his hand on there telling you put your hand on there. I said, well, you know, whether that's the right way to do it or not, I don't know. I'm not defending the guy, and I'm sure not attacking the guy, but, you know, to lay hands on the sick to be healed, that's a biblical thing, you know. It's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. I said, oh, yeah, it's in the Bible. And he said, no, I don't believe it. I said, well, okay, come over here. Let me read this to me. And I opened up the Bible to Mark 16. And, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I said, just read that out loud. And he had his other buddy with him. They're in my office. But they're in my space, okay? This is my office. And I said, just read it. And I was real nice. And I always liked to get to those guys because they didn't know what they were talking about when it came to God. And they make the wildest accusation, make fun and everything. And I'd laugh with them, and then I'd catch them, you know. And so he's standing there, and I said, read that, Mark 16. So he starts reading that, you know, and says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, first I had him read, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And I stopped him. I said, you believe that? And he said, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. You know, he went to a church. I knew they believed that in being saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. I said, you believe that? And he says, yeah. I said, they preach that at your church? He said, yeah. I said, well, just read on a little further. Read on a little further, next verse. These signs shall follow them that believe. He's reading this out loud, standing beside my desk. In my name they shall cast out devils. And he starts stuttering. I said, go ahead, read the rest of it. He said, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. And he gets down there where they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God is my witness. He took that Bible and put it on my desk. And he says, what kind of Bible is that? And stepped back. And I laughed. I got so tickled. I said, it's just a King James Version Bible. It's just a regular Bible. He looked at that thing. He said, I never heard anything like it in my life. I said, well, you ought to listen when you go to church. You ought to pay attention and maybe read your Bible while you're there. Anyway, are you out there? So someone gets all over your case about handkerchiefs. There it is. Are you with me? It's actually in the Bible. Granted, it wasn't the normal course of events, but it was a working of miracles that did take place. And what does it say happened? It says, they were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them. Wow, man, not just healings, but also deliverances took place. So working of miracles, you know, you might ask the question, do we need that? Yeah, we do. Yeah, we definitely need that. I don't think there's anything that we'll ever face that ever come across our path that we can't get in faith and get on our knees and pray and believe God that we can't overcome. But having said that, sometimes things take a long time believing and standing. But if you're willing to stand and you're willing to fight, and you believe, you can get any miracle, any healing, any promise to the Bible, you can get it to come to pass for you, no doubt. But these gifts that God's choosing can happen, and they're instantaneous. Now, I don't think they're going to happen all the time like that, because that's what makes them unique. They're as the Spirit wills. But I sure want to be open. Are you with me? And I sure believe them because they're in the Bible. And I think we get discouraged sometimes when we're praying for something because it doesn't happen instantly. I think we're confusing the gift with us just normally believing and standing in faith. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Doesn't mean instantly. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it takes a while. Now, if it's the gift of healing, it will be instant. Are you with me? But it doesn't mean you give up because nothing happens. You just keep believing. Amen. If you're standing in faith, normal faith, regular faith, laying hands on sick, anointing with oil, those are all scriptures that you and I have to stand on, and that's the normal course of events. These are as the Spirit wills. Hello. And I definitely want to be open to them. Hallelujah. And they are there, praise God, and we do need them. I don't ever want to get to the point where I think I don't need the gifts. We need the gifts. And we don't ever know when we might need one. You know, we might get sucker punched one day and not be on top of it faith-wise and need a miracle take place. Just God's mercy just come on us. Thank God for His mercy. If it weren't for God's mercy, we'd all be consumed. You know, I'm not always 100% on top. How about you? Sometimes I need somebody to believe with me and pray with me. Sometimes I just need the mercy of God to come into play. But God's a good God, and thank God for these gifts. So the three gifts that do something in closing, gifts that do, or power gifts, would be gift of faith, and that works with these other gifts, and the gift of working of miracles, and then gifts, plural, of healings. Now, have you noticed that if you've been around any evangelist or Benny Hinn, follow Benny Hinn on TV or different ones, or I'm going to get way back. If you go way back to, I ain't going to name some of those because then I'll really date myself if I do that. Notice that they seem to have more healings in a certain area. Cripples maybe walk, and some of them I've seen. Some seem like, man, they just stack up the wheelchairs. And I've seen that where it seemed like one type of healing seemed to be predominant. That wasn't the case with Jesus. But we see even in the New Testament after the resurrection, that seems to be the case. Where there's some special miracles even, and then there's some specific type healings that took place. And those were gifts that were flowing.